Hello all and welcome to yet another edition of HRTech.in's Tech Talks, where we talk to subject matter experts on all aspects in the realm of HR and HR technology. Today, we are extremely happy to host Jayant Neelakanta, CEO of Equip. Equip, in fact, helps recruiters conduct pre-hiring assessments across multiple skills. In fact, Equip also recently announced its pre-seed investment of $400K from Better. So we're going to be talking to Jayant in detail about their product and the market expansion plans. Hello, Jayant. Thank you for coming to our show. Really happy to host you. And congrats once again on the recent fundraise.
Thanks, Sriram. Nice to be with you. Nice to finally talk to you. And you guys are doing a great job with HRTech. So glad to be here.
The key focus of this discussion is to identify, what are the challenges that are faced by your clients at this point of time, both business challenges and talent challenges. Would you want to highlight on it and how Equip is actually addressing these challenges?
Yeah, so I think if you thought even like a few months ago, I think from I can speak to the talent more. So I think the biggest challenge used to be retention, right? So like people would get MacBooks delivered to their home even before joining. And even if they didn't join, like they were allowed to retain the MacBook. I mean, it's crazy, right? But I think things have rationalized a bit right now. So I think there is more logic to the whole process. So it's from retaining talent, I think it's moved to more sourcing of talent. One thing I think the pandemic did was to convince businesses that they need to have a presence online, not just to deliver their products and services online, but also to streamline their internal processes, right? So use tools to streamline internal apps and things like that. So the demand for these things, right, to serve services online as well as to internally make things more efficient, the demand especially for tech has increased manyfold. But especially in countries like India, I think the supply side is still quite weak. Because we do skill assessments at Equip, we can see how poor the talent is. Even people who have had a few years of experience in large companies, they're not as equipped as you think they would be, right? So I think that remains the biggest challenge for companies right now. And I think also right now, there isn't too much clarity on the sort of macroeconomic situation, right? Is there going to be a recession? Are we already in a recession? And so I think in these moments, I think hiring is the first thing that gets frozen. We're already seeing a few of our customers, especially those who are reliant on external funding, face those challenges. Right? So I think sort of macroeconomic trends as well as just quality of talent, I think, are the biggest challenges.
And how is Equip essentially addressing these challenges? What's your key USP that you want to highlight?
So Equip is basically skill assessments, automated skill assessments for hiring. Right. So we know that typically most hiring, especially in tech, happens sort of based on pedigree, right? So which college you went to, which company you worked at previously. And with online learning booming, again, especially in tech, there are a lot of very good, talented people who are not getting opportunities to work in good companies because they may not have the right pedigree. So with Equip, you should be able to share the link to an assessment with any candidate that you want. And then the candidate takes the assessment, and we are able to say with a high degree of certainty how good they are at that skill. So what this is doing is it's sort of breaking the barriers, right? And so even our own team, even for a graphic designer, we use Equip, right? So and we see how effective it is because you post on LinkedIn and you get 100 people applying, and we help shortlist candidates based on how talented they are, which, like I said, is a major problem because companies are not able to find good talent. So we help identify great talent with our automated skill tests.
Despite the advantages, Jayant, what we see is across Asia, if you look at it, the HR ecosystem is slow to adopt technology. What do you think is the key reason? Why do organizations hesitate to invest in technology for the HR function?
So the conventional wisdom here is cost, right? So people say that, it's especially in Asia and so on, it's cheaper to have a human being do something. I am not so sure that is true, right? Because at scale, obviously tech is more efficient, and so it's more cost effective. And also as time goes on, tech tends to get cheaper, whereas humans tend to get more expensive. So I don't think it's necessarily the financial aspect. But I think it is to do with basically standard operating procedures, right? So if you're using tech, what that means is you need to have some sort of SOP setup, right? Because the tech will work around that. And I think especially in sort of Asian companies, even sort of mid-sized companies, there are not too many SOPs, right? Things are very ad hoc. And so tech seems a bit too restrictive. You can't just change things the way you want them to be. Tech expects you to behave in a certain way. So because of the lack of SOPs, I think the sense of sort of constraints come in from using tech. And so that's why I think people are more hesitant to adopt. I don't think it's so much a question of cost. I mean, again, right, because we do talent acquisition, right? So hiring, there are lots of components to it. So, you know, negotiating a CTC, seeing if someone is a culture fit, those things have to be done by humans. But I think what we must also do is educate HR that if it's a big function, some parts of it, some components can be automated, and they should let tech handle that, right? And so you just focus on the critical things that only humans can do. So if you have one large thing that you want to do, identify those things that can be automated and let tech handle it because it's efficient at doing that. And then you handle more critical things that you... So I think if you educate HR about this, then they may be more keen to try out and you know, adopt more digital tools.
Fantastic. That's an interesting point, Jayant. Truly, that's what our focus is also at HR Tech. We really want to ensure that the HR ecosystem is more data-driven and tech-centric rather than going by the traditional gut-based decision-making, instinct-based decision-making. They need to adopt more tech and data. I think the fact that you clearly highlighted that Asian companies would like to go with ad hoc processes is definitely a key reason that most companies cite as a reason for not adopting technology. So, so fantastic. We agree with you on that. One of the key things that I wanted to find out from you is how do you help the HR teams, you know, in presenting a business case, or how do you help them get the buy-in from their leadership for investment into investment for HR Tech?
Okay. So we have sort of two demographies of customers, right? So actually right now, because we are also a small, small company, we are focusing on early stage startups. And with early stage startups, it's not been that difficult because we're actually talking to the leadership directly, right? So we try talking to the HR, and then HR in an early stage startup does not have that much sort of functional autonomy. So they will anyway refer you back to the founder and say, get a buy-in from there. So we decided it's better to go straight to the founder and then tell them, founders, and tell them how useful Equip can be. And then they loop the HR in. And so then it becomes an operational sort of a transactional thing with the HR. So with early stage companies, I think we found it more effective to go straight to the founders. With sort of even mid-size, or we have like enterprise customers, what happens is Equip is doing something that a few others have already done. So there are incumbents. And any mid-size or large-size company is definitely using some skill assessment tool. And so we already have built out almost all the features that these companies have. So it's easier to do sort of an apples-to-apples comparison. So then it just becomes a question of going to the sort of HR head and telling them, okay, so you're using this, we have all this and more, and we're offering it at a lower cost, right? And so then it's just easier for them to, because they've already done this, it's easier for them to take a decision, right? So like I said, so with smaller companies, they're going straight to the founders and then telling them how it can be effective. And I think they're seeing it, right? So because founders are very involved in HR functions in a small company, and with larger companies, we're just telling them how, because they're already using a tool similar to ours, we're telling them how we are better. And so that's helping convert people.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Jayant. How are you visualizing the post-pandemic workplace to be, and more so from a recruitment perspective?
Yeah, so I mean, that's like a $1 million question, right? Or if you're WeWork, it's like a multi-billion-dollar question, right? So what happens to the post-pandemic workplace? I don't know, right? I think this whole work from home and remote, I think it's a bit overhyped, right? So even pre-pandemic, there were lots of companies that were fully remote, right? And so that number may go up 10x or maybe even 100x, but it will still remain a sort of a very small percentage of companies that will be fully remote. So you will need to have teams of very highly motivated people if you want to, you know, be successful with remote work. Or you need to be doing functions that are very easy to track, like maybe doing sort of customer support. You know, it's very easy to track how people are doing that. So I don't think it will be very widespread. And I mean, so what I see is, I think it'd just be a hybrid. So I'm going to take the via media, right? I think it's going to be hybrid. I think companies will want to show that off as a perk, saying you have a few days of work from home, maybe save on real estate. And to be honest, I also think employees may prefer this, right? So I think people are tired of working from home. And I'm not saying they live in horrible conditions at home, but it does provide them an escape from, you know, the household chores. And if you're doing something meaningful, I think the office provides a much more, you know, exciting and sort of a collegial atmosphere compared to working from home. So I think certainly employers would want people to work from office. I think you will see most employees, I mean, you see, again, we're a small team, but we're seeing that here, right? So the fact that they have an external monitor, we provide them with an external monitor in the office, to them, it's a huge, people come to the office because they can have two monitors, right? So you can provide these things and more work gets done anyway. So I think it'll be hybrid.
Hey, interesting perspectives. So Jayant, in your perspective, what is that one or two key trends that you are witnessing that you think would be a game changer for Equip's widespread adoption? Do you want to highlight on one or two key trends?
Yes, so I think one thing that doesn't get talked about that much is basically integrations, right? So there are lots of tools that do, you know, one thing very well. But I think if you have integration, sort of API integrations or some sort of add-on and app kind of an integration, I think 1+1 will definitely become greater than 2 with these integrations. So I'll give you an example, right? We use Slack for internal communications, but it has so many apps that you can use that, for example, even asking for leave right now, we have an app that we use on Slack, right? So the employee just requests for leave and the manager approves the leave on Slack. And then on the day of the leave, the Slack status gets updated automatically, right? So it's extremely efficient. So I think what this does is, now there's no way we're going back to any other leave tracking policy, right? So there is so the advantage of these integrations is, like I said, 1+1 is greater than 2, right? So both Slack and this leave tracking thing that we're using will continue to be used for a long time. The other advantage of these integrations is, I think it helps with discovery, right? So for example, I didn't know of this app that does the leave tracking, but I knew that Slack has a marketplace, right? And so it becomes easier to find more and more tools. So broadly, my point is, because it's easy now, like everyone publishes APIs on how you can integrate or how you can launch an app within their marketplace, I think integrations will be the way to go forward. So specific to Equip, for example, we integrate with Lever, right? So Lever is a very popular ATS. And so what this means is the recruiter can share the link to an Equip. So on the ATS, they can change the state of the candidate and automatically the Equip link, the assessment link goes to the candidate. And then once the candidate takes the assessment, the score gets updated back on Lever. So the recruiter is never going back to coming to Equip, finding the link, sharing it with emailing it to the candidate, and then waiting to see how the results roll in, right? So once we have integrated, none of our customers who uses Lever has gone back doing it manually, right? So I think integrations will be the key for, because standalone apps may do things very well, but you will have, if you can bring them together, then I think it's a positive sum game.
How do we encourage HR teams to be more tech savvy, right? Based on your interaction with various HR teams across regions, what do you think we can do?
So before this, I was doing EdTech, right? So there, the constant sort of complaint was, how do we get teachers to be more tech savvy, right? And now I'm doing HR. So I should pick my industry more carefully, I think, from the beginning. But anyway, I think the biggest challenge actually is UX. You look at WhatsApp, right? To me, that's the gold standard. So it's a very core functionality, right? Messaging. And it's used by people from across all backgrounds. But perhaps the grandparents could, you know, get onto WhatsApp without a formal onboarding process. I mean, the UX is so simple. So I think if we can make the UX of a product very good, that will go a long way. Most HR are probably used to very legacy systems, right? Where you need to have a long onboarding, you need to have a lot of customer support. If you make it very, again, specific to Equip, right? On Equip, you can create an assessment in less than a minute, okay? So it's that easy to create an assessment. And our demo calls, our customers book demo calls for half an hour, but in 10 minutes, the entire thing is done. And then we just, you know, they're waiting for, like, what do we do next? Because it's so simple to do the whole thing. So, and we've seen that we do a demo call, we probably set up one assessment for them, maximum 2, and they're able to use it on their own after that, right? So we made it that simple. So I think if you can make the UX very simple, and then you're sort of always available and you don't go down, that'll go a very long way. So I tend to do this. I tell them, so for example, if they ask whom is this for, like, is it for small size companies, for large size companies? I tell them, you think about WhatsApp. Can you have a group of 2 people? Yes. Can you have a group of 100 people? Yes. The system scales with it, right? So it's built in such a way that the UX scales with different requirements. So I tell them that's how this works as well. We've kept it very simple. So if you can have a very simple UX, I think that'll go a very long way.
Fantastic. That's a really interesting perspective. We go back to the first point on the fundraise that we were talking about. So where is the funds going to be predominantly deployed into? Is it into expanding the markets? Is it into the product? What's the, and also, can you elaborate on a product roadmap?
Yeah, so right now, I think most of it will go basically into hiring and marketing, I think. So the product is more or less set. The one other thing we will do is, like I said, we do skill assessments. So we need content, and we do it across skills, right? So most skill assessment platforms, like HackerRank and so on, these are for developers. We do it across skills. So you could be hiring a developer, you could be hiring someone for sales and support, you could be hiring a data scientist. So across roles, we have tests. So we need to create content for all these roles, because we, like I said, if a recruiter is able to create it in less than a minute, it obviously means we have a huge question bank, right, of all the different tests. So we'll be focusing on creating the different content, hiring for product and engineering roles, and marketing. The product roadmap, anyone in the world can use it, right? So we integrate with Stripe, so you know, payments work across, anyone can use it. For now though, we're focusing on India. I think there's a huge market in India itself. We want to have different types of tests. Right. So typically, when you think of a test, you're either thinking of like a quiz with an MCQ, or you're thinking like a developer coding challenge, right? But if you're hiring for customer support, the kind of questions you want to ask and the UI UX for that is very different from what a developer will see, right? So I think we want to, from a product perspective, I think we're focusing on creating different types of tests that are in tune with what is the requirement for that role. So I think that's one thing that we will be doing. We have seen there is a lot of interest in non-tech roles. So I think we want to focus our marketing also in that. For instance, if you're Reliance, if you're Tata, and then you're hiring a lot of people for ops roles, you may want them to have a certain degree of aptitude, and you may also want to have also want them to be able to communicate well and things like that. I think there's a large opportunity there that people are not tapped into. I mean, you may hire maybe a few developers, but you're probably hiring 10x in a typical organization, 10 to 100x. That number of people on non-tech roles. So I think we want to focus on that as well.
Fantastic. Thank you once again, Jain, for being on our Tech Talks podcast, and really appreciate the time and support. And I really wish you and your team great success and many more milestones in the journey to come. Thank you, Jain.
Thanks, Sriram. I see from Singapore to India and now Middle East. So I hope you expand, like we are expanding. I think I hope you expand to many geographies as well. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much, Jain.
Thank you.